This is Real Talk Radio on 99.3 ESPN, 99.3ESPN.com, and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Got any bites yet? I do.
Just like that, little critter told me down by the coal creek. It don't matter if your poles are dusty, gear in the tackle box, out on the flat rock. Baiting that hook with only the right look, lure in the sunshine, ripples in the sweet tide, rubber's going.
Good morning. This is Captain Debbie Hansen. I'm in the studio this morning with my guest co-host, Captain Chasten Whitfield of Chasten Nation. Hey, Chasten. Good morning.
Good morning.
Can you believe it? Time is just a flying. The last hour of the show. It's crazy. Crazy, crazy. We're actually going to head straight on over to line one because we've got Captain Steve Johnson standing by with his tournament and event rundown. So we're going to grab his call, hear what he's got to say. Hey, Steve.
Hey, good morning, Captain Debbie. Good morning, Captain Chasten. How are we doing?
Good. How are you?
Awesome. We're out on the water today. We're getting a little bit of a late start here. We're trying to get some bait, and the wind's a little windier than we thought it was going to be, but it should be a nice day, nice incoming tide. And so we're looking forward to catching a few fish here.
Well, it's good to hear you're getting out there, Steve. Good stuff.
Yep.
I know you still do that, you know, you're still involved with that four-letter word thing called work during the week, so it's good to hear you out there on the weekend.
Yeah, that's the, I work so that I can afford to run the boat, you know.
Right.
Yep.
Yep. Well, what's the latest in the tournament and event world?
Tournament-wise, we've got a few things going on. April the 10th, we've got the Bobby Holloway. That's always a big tournament. That's out of Pine Island, and so that'll always draw a big crowd on that one. On the 17th, we've got the Flashmasters Tournament Series. This is their first one of the Summer Series, so that one's starting up next month on the 17th. And also the Green Wave Inshore Classic, the Fort Myers High School Tournament, that will happen on the 17th as well, and that always draws a pretty good crowd as well. And then on the 24th, we've got a new tournament here locally, and it's called Fish Like Mad, and it's Mothers Against Drunk Driving to put a tournament together, and that will happen on the 24th. Up on the Central West area, we got quite a few things going on up there. On the 3rd, the Real Adventure Kayak, Michael McGalley Redfish Tournament. I believe he was a fallen officer up there in that Tampa area.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing a fundraiser for him, and it's a kayak event, I believe. On the 10th, we've got the Florida Lure Anglers Fishing Tournament. That's in Steinhatchee. On the 16th, we've got the Professional Redfish League, and that's also in Steinhatchee. And on the 17th, that's it on the 16th. On the 24th, we've got Shands Fishing for Kids Tournament, and that's out of Steinhatchee. We also have the CCBA, that's a Builders Association Tournament, Family Fishing Tournament, that's out of Homosassa. And that's on the 24th. We also have the Wild West Kingfish Tournament in Madeira Beach. That always draws a big crowd for the big Kingfish Tournament series that they do several times a year. So there's quite a bit happening in the Central West area. Here on over on the East Coast, we've got a couple of things going on. The April the 7th, we've got the final sail. That's out of Biscayne Bay area. And on the 22nd, we've got the Offshore Anglers Pompano Beach event. And obviously, that's in Pompano Beach. Down in the Keys, we've got a couple of things going on. In April, on the 23rd, we've got the Robert James Sales Sunrise Tarpon Tournament, and that's in Isla Mirada. We have the 24th, we have the Lionfish Derby, that's also in Isla Mirada. And we have the Herman Lucerne Tournament, which is an invitational only, pretty big tournament. They raise a lot of money for different functions there. And that's happening on the 25th that starts. And I think we got one thing going on up in the Panhandle area. On the 10th of April, we've got the North Florida Redfish Series, and that's their number 3 event in Port St. Joe. So they got a small Redfish Series that runs up there as well. So check it out. Check out fish-florida.com. If there's something going on you don't see up on the website. Give me a call. Shoot me an email. All my contact information there. Be glad to put it up for people. It's all free, so we'd be glad to, you know, promote anybody's tournaments that they have. It is pretty much saltwater tournaments only right now at this time. So give me a holler.
Well, thanks for the update, Steve. We certainly appreciate it. We'll let you get back to fishing.
All right. We're going to try to get some bait and go from there.
Yeah, good luck out there today. We'll catch up with you next Saturday, Steve. Take care.
Okay, Debbie. Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
That is Captain Steve Johnson with fish-florida.com. Couple more texts that have been coming through here on the text line this morning. Let's see. Where did I leave off here? Oh, my goodness. Mad Duck in Naples. Big FCB fan guy here. Future Captain Bradley fan. Aha, he finally found it. This is why I wanted to hear reports on Captain Rob's book from future Captain Bradley. Yes, Mad Duck. He has been featured. Like I said, he's a celeb. What can we say? What can we say? And then, let's see, Mad Doug also said, geez, where did you go to college, and do they still have an all-girls team? I have a granddaughter, angler, coming of college age soon. So do you want to, as Chasten said, they don't, unfortunately, have a team at her college anymore. But
there are so many colleges
that do,
have
right?
bass fishing teams.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, do you know of any in specific?
SCAD was the only all-girls team in the country.
Yeah.
So there's girls on other fishing teams, but they fish with boys. So with us, it was boater was a girl, co-angler was a girl. But with the other schools, it's like the girls are either a boater or the girl could be a co-angler, they switch and whatnot.
So they just have co-ed teams at most other schools.
Yep.
Gotcha. Yep. Gotcha. Let's see. What else? Dopey McDoperson says, I keep hearing cut bait, and I'm wondering what that is. What are the different types of bait, and what are they for? Certain baits work for certain fish. Yes, absolutely, Dopey. Certain baits definitely work better for certain fish. And cut bait can be really any type of bait fish that you're cutting up and basically putting on a circle hook and putting it out there in the water. So sometimes people use cut ladyfish. Sometimes people use cut mullet. Sometimes people even use cut pinfish, so it just depends what you're fishing for specifically. But cut bait is just bait that you cut up and chunk up and put on a hook to basically break it down and make it simple. Yeah. So, Chasten, the other thing I wanted to mention or talk about here a little bit was your relationship with Yellowfin Boats and kind of, you know, clearly they came up to support you and they helped design a boat for you that would allow you to take these kids that have wheelchairs and disabilities out on the water. So touch on that a little bit and how that came about and your relationship with them.
Yeah. So I remember what Easton had, the little boy in a wheelchair. He had spina bifida.
Mm-hmm.
So an hour later, got it.
I told you that would happen.
Yeah. So Yellowfin, I have a 21-foot hybrid, which means it could do offshore or inshore. And then I also take it bass fishing.
Mm-hmm.
But what's different about my boat is that the consoles actually move back so we can fit a full-size wheelchair up front. So like Easton, where the little kids who have the little wheelchairs, they can actually like unlock their brakes and do donuts right there. Like there's enough room for them to do donuts. But like the bigger kids and adults, their wheelchairs, if it's a regular wheelchair, they can log in and they're good to go. So they helped me out a lot with that because once that happened, it was like kid after kid after kid after kid. It was so much fun.
Yeah, and then I would imagine there's a way that you have like a door on the side that you can open up so that they can just wheel the wheelchair, they can somehow get the wheelchair in.
Yeah, so usually if it's like a little kid like Easton, I've taken two of spina bifida kids who had a little wheelchair, and the mom and I would just lift it up. But if it's like an adult or like a teenager, then usually my dad will meet me at the boat ramp where they are and help pick it up,
or the
dad will be with me and they'll be like, now that Easton, he's almost like 7 years old now, so he's getting tall and bigger. So he actually gets out of the wheelchair, mom puts it in, and then the mom picks Easton up, puts him in the wheelchair.
Gotcha.
So it's depends on the person.
The situation, yeah. Sure, absolutely. All right, well, I'm going to head right over to line one because we've got Captain Greg Stamper. The Chef Greg Stamper, the Real Talk Chef, standing by on line one. Hey, Captain Greg, good morning.
Good morning, Debbie. Good morning, Chasten. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing good. It's nice to hear you two on the radio. Two women do it the right way.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, what's the latest report, Greg? How has fishing been for you over the past week? I know you've been busy and out on the water every day. And obviously I hear about some of your fishing stories when you come home. But fill us in. I saw a tank of a redfish that you brought to the boat, yeah, or that your client brought to the boat. I think that was yesterday. So tell us how the fishing's been and what you've been getting
fishing
into.
Fishing's been very good overall. We've had a little bit of wind, obviously, we've had to deal with. And, you know, every trip's different. You ask the client what they're looking to do. Are you looking for action? Are you looking for trophies? You want to go big? You want to go home? You know, what are you thinking about? Are you trying to eat something? Those type of things. So we did a little bit of everything this week. We did catch quite a few nice pompano this week, you know, which are obviously very good table fare if somebody wants to eat those. The mackerel bite is full speed. So there's another option there. And then in the back bay, you know, most of what I've been doing has been the redfish and snook. And the snook bite yesterday, it really turned on. They're responding very nicely to this warm-up. I think they realize that we probably won't be getting cooler anymore, so it's time to start moving out. So these fish are coming out of our rivers and our back bays and stuff, and they're starting to push themselves forward. We caught quite a few snook yesterday. The biggest wasn't too crazy. It was about 32, 33 inches, but mm-hmm. Those are solid fish, and it's nice to see them out there. And we got those on everything from shrimp, cut baits to white bait, and it worked real well. And then yesterday in the afternoon, yes, we did kind of a similar pattern. They wanted to go big or go home, and we got into quite a few really nice reds. Up to 32 inches. Nothing was under 25 or 26. So good sized fish moving around the back. It was a little bit on the windy side, especially in the afternoon. So we did have to hide in a few places, but they all produced. So that's good. And then, you know, all the nearshore guys have just been absolutely crushing permit lately. And the tarpon are definitely full speed. Even one of my buddies, Captain Jason Moore, was talking about a pot of fish that he could drift for a half mile on and get through them. So they're out there. It has begun. Spring has sprung. We're all very busy, but if you're going to go fishing, now is the time to do it before it gets too crazy hot. Otherwise, if you book me in the summer, we'll be leaving at about 5:30 in the morning.
Yep, got to get out there and get it done early before those water temperatures climb and the fish get uber lethargic.
It won't be long, but it's nice to have what we have right now and just hoping that we get no more of these fronts. I think we're done with it, and you know the waters are starting to warm up to that happy temperature.
Yeah,
there's plenty of bait out there, and just the fact that the tarpon are already starting to show up everywhere now, and it's pretty much going to be full speed from here forward, tells you that that's what's up. And, you know, the offshore guys are still going out there when they can and absolutely crushing those big mangrove snappers, catching muttons, and the porgies, unfortunately, it seem like they've moved really far out. So if anybody's trying for those, you're probably going to have to get out there past that 140, you know, number, give or take.
Yeah, and the permit that some of the guys have been bringing in near shore, I mean, some really nice, nice permit. What size on those permit have those guys been seeing, Greg, roughly? Do you know?
They've been getting them all sizes. I mean, you know, the smaller permit that are on our wrecks and our reefs that are outside of our, you know, anywhere from 3, 4, 5 miles all the way out, you're going to have these parts of areas that are going to be stacked up with these permit. They can be anywhere from as small as about, I don't know, 8 or 9 pounds. Those are kind of the smaller ones. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, upwards of, you can get fish to 40 pounds out there. You know, they're going to be drifting crabs through the schools or just a slightly weighted crab sometimes is an option as well. But, you know, if there's a lot of weeds in the water, when I permit fish, those permit are typically going to be up higher because they're checking out every little piece of weed that goes by for baby crabs. And you'll see them doing it. It's pretty neat when you see that. It's like a National Geographic show. But if there's not a lot of weeds in the water or anything like that structure-wise, and you don't see them tailing, usually I'll weight that thing down with just a little tiny, tiny split shot.
Yeah. Yep. Good tips. All right, Greg. Well, thanks so much for the update. We appreciate it. We'll get the latest report from you next Saturday for sure. Well, we will.
You got it.
We will do it. Thanks for breakfast. I'll see you later.
Bye.
Okay, bye. That is Captain Greg Stamper with Snook Stamp Charters calling in. He fishes Estero Bay. And Rick, I think it's that time.
Oh, my gosh, we're actually going to be on time with this today.
We are, believe it or not.
I'm so excited, and let's dedicate this one to our friend Gator Tom, who I got to talk this morning. He's on the mend, getting better, but still struggling.
Good. Gator Tom, we're
thinking
about you.
We know you're a big
fan,
hang so this one's
there,
for you.
I've grown tired of you. What's wrong with you? You are useless.
Useless.
And now from the world's most extraordinary book of useless information, here's your host and mine, Captain Debbie Hansen, with useless information.
This is the Let's Get Celestial edition of useless information.
Sounds like
fun. So we're focusing on stars today.
But not like Elvis. We're talking celestial, like heavenly bodies.
Those sparkling things in the sky, Rick.
Gotcha.
Yep, that's what we're talking about here. And we're going to start off with the fact that the sun is really a white star. It's the Earth's atmosphere that actually makes it appear yellow. And then, number two, scientists believe that there are at least 176 billion galaxies in the universe. That's crazy.
How do they calculate that?
I would like to know that myself. Because 176 billion galaxies.
Galaxies.
So if you think about that, you know there is life out there somewhere.
I mean,
on another planet in another galaxy. Here's a question for you.
It's almost too much to consume mentally.
I know. It's very overwhelming to think about that. But what I want to know, see if somebody can text in with the right answer to this question. We'll see if you know it, Rick. Which galaxy are we in?
Andromeda? No. I don't know.
Let's see if anyone texts in. We'll leave it there. All right. And then last but certainly not least.
Milky Way.
Yes!
Ah.
Go, Rick.
I started thinking about candy bars. And
and then it came to you.
It came to
me. Yeah. A recent study of the cosmos suggests that the universe is running out of star-making material and that new star formation may be coming to an end.
Wow.
In other words, there could be a star shortage.
A star shortage.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, that would not make for good stargazing at night if we were, running
starless?
Out of stars.
Yeah. No, I agree. That's for sure. My goodness. All right. Well, I know we're coming up against a break here, but when we come back, we're definitely going to talk a little bit, Chasten, about some of the experiences that you've had with these kids and getting them out on the water.
Yeah.
And we're also going to let people know how they can get in touch with you, because most of the time it's the parents, I would imagine, that reach out to you, right?
Yep.
And because now, like we were talking about earlier with the pandemic and kids really, I'm sure, struggling with a lot of feelings of uncertainty. And for some of those kids who have life-threatening illnesses, obviously they have to be very, very conscious of, being careful and taking the right precautions and getting out there in the fresh air as much as possible to keep their spirits up.
Yep.
So we'll talk about that. In the meantime, we're going to head off to another break. You're listening to Real Talk on 99.3 ESPN and on the 99.3 ESPN app. We'll be back after these messages.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
This is Real Talk Radio on 99.3 ESPN, 99.3ESPN.com, and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Good morning, and welcome back to Real Talk Radio. This is Captain Debbie Hansen. I'm in the studio closing out the last half hour of Real Talk Radio with Captain Chasten Whitfield of Chasten Nation.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning. So we definitely want to make time to talk about some of the experiences that you've had out there with these kids, because you're changing their lives. I mean, these are experiences that they're having out there that they're going to remember probably for the rest of their life and that are making such a huge impact on them. So what was maybe one of your most memorable experiences that you've had with one of these kids? Maybe it was an awesome catch that they had the chance to experience, or just a really special moment out on the water?
So this one I recently did in February, and it was a 12-year-old girl. She had neuroblastoma, and she was diagnosed when she was, I think, 5, and it's stage 3 or 4, the mm-hmm. higher ones. It's came back 4 times. And the treatments were killing her. So she went up to her mom and said, "Mom, I'm done." So they're from Illinois, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And they came down here because the mom said we were coming down here to live her best life. And they actually followed me, and I was following, and I was like, "Oh, my gosh." I'm like, "Florida, hey, let's go fishing." And she's like, "Oh, my gosh, we were going to go to Clearwater to go see the dolphins." She loves dolphins.
Mm-hmm.
Her name's Izzy. Izzy loves dolphins. So I was like, "I can get her on a boat right next to one. Don't go, like, come on, let's go." So she gets in, gets to my house, and we take her on the boat, and I'm fishing a dock really close to my neighborhood. And I was like, "Hey, do you want to catch a fish real quick?" And the brother and the dad and the mom, the whole family was there. And the brother's like, "Yeah, okay, sure." So I threw a shrimp out there. First cast, had a little snapper. And Izzy jumped up and ripped the rod out of my hand. She's like, "I got it. I got it." I was like, "Okay." So she starts reeling it in, and it comes up. She goes, "That's so pretty." I'm like, "You want to hold it?" And she just just grabs this fish. And she's like, "Mom, take a picture." And oh, my gosh, she's hilarious. It was so much fun.
So she had no fear.
No.
She was just...
She got her nails done. And
she had never caught a fish before.
No. So they went on a charter before, but it was very slow.
Yeah.
So kids don't have a big attention span, so...
Very true. Very true.
Excuse me. So we were catching snapper, and all of a sudden I hear like this psh noise, and there's like 3 dolphins behind us.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, "Izzy, look, there's dolphins." And she runs to the back of the boat, hits the GoPro, and is recording it. And watching them. And she's like freaking out. And I pick the power poles up. And I'm like, "All right, we're going to stalk these things." So we're right next to them. And they're doing this. They're rolling. And she's squealing and freaking out. And like, to me, that's like another thing. Like, "Oh, look, a dolphin." It's like seeing a seagull.
Because
like,
you've grown up here. And you see it all the time.
Yeah, but seeing a dolphin through her eyes. I'm not going to cry. I'm not going to cry.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because she was just so excited and...
Yeah, it definitely puts things in perspective.
Mm-hmm.
That was the hardest thing I've ever done, but it was the best thing I've ever done, if that makes sense.
It does make sense. It does. Well, thank you so much, Chasten, for all you do, for all the kids that you have taken out on the water. Oh, my gosh, now I'm going to start to cry.
I know, it's tough.
Because, you know, we all know, those of us who are out there on the water on a regular basis, we all know that when something magical happens when you get out there. And no matter what's going on in your life, the water seems to melt all of that away.
It's saltwater therapy.
It takes us to a pretty special place. So thank you for all you do and the time that you spend with these kids.
Thank you.
And, you know, you've been doing this now for what you said, 4 or 5 years?
Oh, I think it's like 6 now. 6
yeah.
or 7.
And it started off where you had other captains who were helping you get the kids out.
Yes. Because at the time I did my captain's license and all the legal stuff. So
right.
I got my captain's license right on my birthday. I got it on my birthday.
What an awesome birthday present.
Yeah, right. I'm like,
and that's a huge challenge. I'm sure once you went through captain school and took the exams and, you know, people don't realize what all is involved when it comes to getting your license. So hats off to you because I know firsthand how much work that is and how much studying it is.
Oh my, that prepared me for college. That was probably the hardest test I've ever taken.
Yeah.
Before college.
Yep.
Yeah. It was worth it. It's definitely worth it.
So you're getting these kids out, and you probably take out, how many kids do you take out on average? Like you do, do you do it once a week or just kind of depends what you've got going on with school, I'm sure.
Yeah. So when I was in high school, when I started this, I did sometimes 2 kids every weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So it was once a week I would try to do a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think I've taken almost 70 kids, 67, 70 kids, something like that. And I've actually ran out of kids. So... But, like, with this whole COVID thing, it kind of put everyone inside for a little bit. But
yeah,
now, as things are slowly getting better, I've been taking, I think I've taken, like, since September, I've taken, like, 2 or 3, maybe.
Yeah.
Which is good. It's
yeah.
not a huge number, but it's helping, so.
Right, definitely. Well, and there are expenses that come with that. So you you've got a nonprofit set up.
Yes.
And folks can go to your website and they can donate. You've got a PayPal button on there, right? So
yes.
The donations go to help paying for boat maintenance, gas.
Yep, it goes.
Tackle and gear, I'm sure. Bait.
Yep, so if you donate or if you buy a Chats Nation shirt, the money goes straight into my gas tank and the boat to take these kids fishing.
Yeah, and you're wearing one of your shirts
right now.
I know people can't see because this is radio, but...
It's got a couple fish stains on it, but you'll just ignore that.
Your tarpon logo is awesome.
Thank you.
That's a killer logo.
Yeah,
so cool.
It was hand-drawn by Ashley Weber, and oh my goodness.
No way. She is so talented.
Oh my goodness. And there's handprints in the tarpon scales because my slogan or saying is you have one hand to help yourself and one hand to help others. So I got little kids' hands in the tarpon scales and...
That's good stuff right there. And I know I know your mom texted in and she says,
goodness.
Tell Chastin I love her. So
love you too, Mom.
Cappy, thanks for your text. Yes. And Dopey McDoberson just texted in and said, thank you, Captain Chastin, for toughing it out for the show. We'll definitely check out Chastin Nation. Hope you get the feeling back in your fingertips. Lines.
Thank you. Me too. It's slowly getting there.
And then Gabrielle McGrath texted in and said, Chastin, you are such an inspiration. Yes, she is.
Thank you.
Yeah, definitely. So I guess talk a little bit, too, about, you know, some advice maybe that you might have. Obviously, you've, you know, you started at a young age. You were out there in the fishing and boating industry, and, you know, there's a lot more young women, thankfully, that are starting to get into fishing and young people in general, especially given the pandemic. So what tips or words of wisdom and advice, Chastin, do you have for a young person who's looking to maybe get into the fishing industry or maybe getting into fishing tournaments, just as far as, you know, keeping your head in the game and not getting frustrated?
I'm going to use the Nike slogan, just do it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't think, just go do it. That's... Shout out to my old teammates for making me just do it. It was so worth it. But yeah, definitely just go out there and don't think about it. Just go fish. Like, it's not, if you're fishing a tournament, don't think it's a tournament. Just think you're going out there to fish for fun. And it will change that day. Like, tournament fishing, it gets serious and you have to be so serious and worrying about this and that. Just go fish for fun. And that's all that matters, as long as you have fun.
I think it's possible to overthink it when you're fishing tournaments.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
Definitely. You know you're on a time clock, and if something's not working on the time frame you're expecting it to,
you start to overthink
it. And then you're spending more time switching out baits than you are actually with a line in the water, which causes a whole other issue.
Yep.
Yeah, because you're not catching then. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, it definitely makes you freak out a little bit. But yeah, just definitely just do what makes you happy. If fishing makes you happy, then just do it. Like, don't listen to what other people say, because they'll tell you no, and you'll be like, okay, well, watch this.
Yeah, because I'm sure you ran up against a lot of resistance and, you know, people saying, oh, well, it's going to be hard, and, you know, you're a young woman getting started in the fishing industry, but... Good for you for standing your ground and, you know, for being such a, you know, you've been involved in the industry and taking these kids out now for a long, long time. And obviously, I'm sure you've got a lot of future plans and goals. But I think one of the most important things that I know you've talked about before is just, you know, the messages that we're putting out there with regards to, like, bullying with some of these kids and social media, because there's a point in time where, you know, that's a big component in some of these kids' lives. And I think now with social media, there's a whole new level of it, because there's the online world, and it's a lot easier for people to bully when they're behind a keyboard.
Exactly.
So I guess, you know, what have your experiences been with that, and kind of what advice do you give to some of these kids if they're going through those tough times and somebody's, you know, kind of trying to bring them down?
Yeah. So when I started doing, like, when I started fishing, after I fished that first tournament in my little boat that always ran out of gas, there's this kid in my, in my seventh period, and he would make fun of me, like, in my face, like, in person. So this one hurt a little more than the online ones. You can just kind of flick off. You're like, you're bullying me through a phone. Like,
right.
All right, okay. And usually it's because they're jealous.
Mm-hmm.
But this kid, however, he would come up to me and he's like, so how do you drive a boat? And asking me, like, legit, like, how I, like, step by step, like, turn the
trying
key.
Trying to test you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I was like, yeah, and then you do this and this. And he's like, wrong. And I was like, all right, can you just go sit down? Like, can you just go sit down, please? The class is about to start. And he was like, you're never going to make it in the fishing world. You're a girl. You're never going to make it. And I'm like, all right. And when people tell me I can't do something, it makes me, it, like.
Makes you want to do it more.
Oh, my God. When people make me mad, it makes me, like. I'm like, okay, well, watch me. I'm going to go show you I can do this. It, like, empowers me almost.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, and, excuse me. If they're hating, it's usually because you're doing something good.
Yeah.
If you have a hater, you're doing something good. And they're jealous. You'll never meet a hater that's better than you.
It's very good advice. So, I mean, the bottom line is just, let it roll off your shoulders because
yeah
I mean it's either that person's way of trying to get attention in a negative way or because like you said there's some jealousy involved there. So I think it's really important to start putting out put out positive messages and really that kids do feel supported when they're getting out there in the water, especially I think the young girls who are just getting into fishing, because I know too, when I was growing up, there weren't any other young girls that were into fishing because this was in the 70s and 80s. And, I really didn't have any role models to look up to. And I was a total tomboy. I was climbing trees and catching frogs and making mud pies and out there on a boat fishing with my grandpa. But I just knew I loved it and I didn't care. Yeah. And I was going to keep doing it. And in my teenage years, I probably fell away from it for a little bit just because, life got in the way. And then there was, dating and worrying about college and getting into college and all that kind of thing. But, I mean, you've diehard stuck with it and... you've just stayed the course, which is so admirable. And I just think it's great. And all the positive messages that you're putting out there. So we actually get ready to head off to another break. You are listening to Real Talk on 99.3 ESPN and on the 99.3 ESPN app. We'll be back after these messages.
This is Real Talk Radio on 99.3 ESPN, 99.3ESPN.com, and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Welcome back to Real Talk Radio. This is Captain Debbie Hansen. I'm in the studio this morning with Captain Chasten Whitfield, rolling into the last basically 10 minutes of Real Talk Radio.
Wow.
I know, right?
That went by so fast.
Where does 3 hours go? And Rick, that's the perfect song as we're closing in to the end.
Thank
here.
You for noticing.
Very well timed.
I think last week, very before well I played timed. The final countdown going into the last break. Now it's another one. So I'm trying to be thematic if I can.
I like it. I like it. So Chasten, what about advice that you have for women who are looking to get out there on the water and learn some boating skills?
Boating. Well, definitely get a boat that you feel comfortable with. Like, don't just go big or go home, because the bigger boat's scary.
Start out with a smaller boat.
And
get some practice. If you probably have a friend or family member that owns a boat, get out there with them as much as possible and have them kind of coach you along.
Yeah, and also YouTube. You can YouTube it.
Yeah.
Just when you're in the boat, just know the tides. That's a big thing I see now. A lot of people are out there in their boats, and the tide will all of a sudden just drop, like 2 foot, and the next thing you know, you're on land.
Yeah.
So definitely be mindful of that.
Yeah, especially we have those low negative winter tides here. Yeah.
Those are not fun. I've been in the channel, and I'm like, oh, I think I can run it, and it's like almost negative, and I look down, I'm like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
No, I can't. Like a oh crap moment, you turn real quick.
And then probably being conscious of the wind and how that affects the tide situation too.
Yeah, if the wind's going one way and the tide's going the other, the waves will be coming and the waves are, there's a lot that goes into boating.
Yep.
But once you practice and just go out there, it's all trial and error. So once you go out there and you just figure it out.
Yeah.
It sounds horrible, but you do. You just go out there and you figure it out and like the waves, because sometimes you can't go straight into them and you gotta go sideways. And
I think freshwater is a good intro too.
Oh yeah,
because you kind of get, you can get some experience fishing in some of the inland lakes and waterways where you're not dealing with tides as much.
Yeah.
So you know, get your boat handling skills down and then graduate from there. So yeah. All right, we're gonna head over to line one because we've got Captain John Fetter standing by. Hey John, good morning.
Good morning. How are you two wonderful ladies doing today?
We are doing fabulous. How are you?
Good, good. Out on the soccer field today.
Are ya? Out there watching the girls are playing a game this morning?
Yeah, the girls back in soccer, so Saturday mornings will be soccer days for me.
Gotcha. Gotcha, gotcha. Well, so, how was the fishing this past week?
Oh, well, I did pretty good most of the week until the day before yesterday. I struggled a little bit. We still caught, you know, still caught good fish, but beginning of the week was a lot of sea trout, a lot of mackerel, pompano, jacks, ladyfish. We caught a couple red. And again, still throwing shrimp under a jig head or shrimp under a popping cork for me.
Yep. That's been working. But so you've been seeing, have you guys seen any of those juvenile redfish? I know I asked Captain Jim this question down in his
neck. I didn't see. I mean, you know, most of the ones we were getting were, you know, a little bit bigger than, you know, the 16s and 17s, they were, you know, 22, 23.
Yeah.
So they're a little bit bigger. Not that I'm complaining.
No, not at all. But it's always good to see the next generation. Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. Well, good.
That was good. I mean, we had a lot of good options. You know, I had a lot of kids this week. So been a lot of rods and made a lot of memories of family. So that's what it's all about.
That's definitely what it's all about. Well, good. I'm glad you had a good week, and it sounds, I'm sure this next week coming up is going to be pretty good too with those warming temperatures. So
yeah, hopefully, I think that'll make a difference.
Yeah, hopefully folks are making plans to get out there.
They should. You know, now's a good time to get out and bend rods and have fun. So
without a doubt,
it is a good time to do it.
Definitely. And John, folks can get in touch with you. You're at catchingthecurecharters.com, correct?
Correct.
Well, awesome. Well, we'll let you get back to the soccer game.
All right. You guys have a good day and a good week, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, John. You bet. Bye. You too. Take care.
All right.
Bye. That is Captain John Fetter out of Fishtail Marina catching the Cure Charters. Yeah. So just to close out here, so what is next for Chasten Whitfield? What are some of your goals for the next, geez, like 5 years, 10 years? Where do you see yourself?
Hopefully what graduated do you wanna do? College.
Yeah.
And having my own TV show.
Very cool.
Yep. I want to do what I do with the kids just on TV.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm thinking about like hosting it, producing it. I love editing. I don't know what it is.
And you're going to school for...
Yes, my major is
TV and film. Your major is TV and film.
I love editing. So my professors are like, all right, what's everyone's like post-production, pre-production, what's going on? And I was like, I'm the only one that says editing. And they're all like, why? I like seeing things come together. Kind of like with the kids fishing, I like seeing them react to catching a fish.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm just not going to go, okay, here's a boat, go fish on it. I like seeing it firsthand. So I guess with editing, I like seeing it come together.
Yeah.
I like the end product. It's cool.
And you're in your junior year, right?
Yes.
So you're already, you've got your gen eds out of the way. So
yes.
Now you're really kind of getting into all the core classes pertaining to TV and film. So you're really able probably to start doing a lot more of the work on a lot more of the projects that you really want to work on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now that you've got all the other stuff, you know, all the gen eds taken care of.
Yes.
So is there anything about like TV and filming? I mean, do they supply you with some of the gear at school so that you can get out and...
Yes.
Shoot some of the stuff on your own?
Yeah, they supply us with everything.
Yeah.
Like, we have to rent it from, it's called the cage because it's in a cage.
Yeah.
So we have to rent it from the cage and then go out and film our own stuff, edit it, and then turn it in. So, well, usually we have like a big group. So there's like a director, producer.
You've got a team.
Yeah.
Production like team set up.
Post-production team, pre-production team. Everything, we have to get actors. I've never worked with actors before, so it is I was like, whoa, like cry on like the dot. I'm like, whoa, when, how'd you, okay. So I think TV is more my lane. The movie, that's a lot. There's a lot going on there.
Yeah.
So But yeah, they let us rent the stuff out, and it's great because it's the stuff that Hollywood uses, apparently. So it's like the big fancy camera. So if we break it, we got to cut off an arm and leg and hand it to them. So yeah, pressure's
all
that
pricey gear. Yeah, and then when you're using all that gear around the water, that's a whole other thing.
Yeah, my professor's like, oh, you can go film a fishing thing on your boat. I'm like, I am not putting that camera on my boat. That is way too scary. Thanks, though. And he's like, oh, come on. I'm like, don't, no. It's not going to happen.
Well, we can't wait for the next couple of years and to see all the amazing things that you're going to be doing. And I'm sure one of these days we're going to be sitting in front of the TV and watching your show and actually being able to experience all, you know, through TV, all that you're doing to get those kids out on the water and make those memories with them. So thanks so much again for all you do for our industry and for those kids. It's that time. We got to go. Thank you, Rick, the director of the show, for pressing the buttons and screening the calls. Thank you again, Chasten, for being here this morning.
Thank you for having me.
Remember to share your experiences, share your stories, and get someone new out on the water. Tight lines, everybody. We'll be back next Saturday, same place, same time. Have a great weekend.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.